Welcome to the discussion on design and computer science. Four computer scientists were interviewed. We have Dr. John Bell.
My educational background is I did an undergraduate here at Michigan State in computer science, and then did a master's and PhD in computer science at Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley. And my focus was databases and user interfaces.
Next, we had Tim Sonier.
Hello, my name is Timothy Sonier. I work at Cedar Valley College as an instructor, teaching a number of different computer science courses, ranging from your basic Intro to Computers course to an advanced computer science programming class featuring C++. I also have a master's degree from the University of Texas at Dallas in computer science.
I have also completed a large number of computer projects for staff and faculty at Cedar Valley College, ranging from audio and video projects, which I do quite often, to some very interesting computer programming problems.
Then we had Jack Rivette.
In high school, I was always good in the math and sciences, and so when I got into college, ended up taking our math and science classes at the end of my freshman year. So I started out as kind of as a no preference. At the end of freshman year, they asked me to declare at least a college, so I declared engineering because my classes tended to be that way. And shortly thereafter, they wanted a specialty. The advisor asked for taking two computer science classes, so I went ahead and just named computer science as my major and just kind of fell into it.
And lastly, Stephen Fowler.
And received my bachelor's degree in computer engineering from Michigan State in 2000 as part of the first cohort of that degree. As a combination of computer science and electrical engineering. And following that, I worked for Motorola for 2.5 years in the automotive embedded software development department. And since then, I've worked at a small company called SimiQuest doing embedded software as well, more on the model-based side of things. But all in all, the 12 years are a total of embedded software development experience.
As we began our discussion of computer science, we found the designation made for a dubious start. That is, just the name computer science brought with it issues. First off, the question arose, is computer science a science?
I would say the typical programmer is not a computer scientist. But people in the academic world are, in the sense that the typical programmer is not learning about the nature of technology. They are more like an engineer who's applying it.
The consensus was that it could act like a science, but it was not necessarily a science.
Computer science does have a good amount of science or scientific aspects to it. For instance, in the measuring of how exactly to sort items in a list, there's a lot of different methods to do it and a lot of measurement as to which method works fastest. And that's been very important for a very large number of applications for computers. Further past that, there's the development of artificial intelligence, of computer vision, things like that, and these need to be approached in a scientifically rigorous manner. But there's also a lot of application of engineering, which is not quite the same as science. It's related, but not quite the same. There's also some application of art or creativity, especially in any sort of consumer-related product.
It may have been expected to encounter issues with the word science, but it was unexpected to hear problems with the word computers in computer science.
Really, the computer part of this is sort of a misnomer. It's more of a study of computing rather than the computers themselves as we think of them. It's the same sort of comparison you would make between a computer scientist and an astronomer. Astronomers are not focused on how telescopes work. They're focused on what you can see with the telescope, what is going on in space, the cosmological bodies that you would find there. So a computer scientist is focused on understanding the processes of, for instance, what makes an operating system work, how you deal with all of the resources you have, resources like memory, hard drive space, processor speed, display space, that sort of thing. How do you figure out complex problems? How do you solve them, given the resources that you have?
So just like biology is not really about microscopes, and geometry is not really about using surveying instruments, computer science is not really about computers. In fact, there is actually commonality between computer science and geometry. The name geometry comes from geo, meaning the earth, and metron, meaning to measure. So literally, it means measuring the earth or surveying. Geometry was named such because it was first developed in ancient Egypt, where it was all about the act of surveying and the instruments this process used. A potential lesson here is that when a field is getting started, it is easy to confuse the essence of what it is about with the tools that its practitioners use. But enough about definitions. What we're really interested in is design. And we heard from all of our four interviewees about their perspectives on design. They characterize good design as being intuitive, simple but powerful, and having a user-friendly interface. Tim pointed out that the user interface is crucial, and this is exemplified in Apple's iPad, which even his 2-year-old daughter can use.
She can figure out what she needs to do, how to get to her games and things on the iPad, and work it very well. I mean, and she is just barely verbal at this point.
In his perspective, a designer needs to consider whether the interface is easy to use and understand. Because of its usability, Jack and Steve praise Google Docs as good design. Google Docs is a good design because it has some very useful functionality, like data backup.
How do I have needed uptime requirements, backup requirements, what to maintain it. I think in many ways Google has kind of set the bar on what we're after. And I think the fact it's all free maybe fogs my mind a little bit, but even if it wasn't free, I think just the backup, the tools, the uptime requirements are very good.
And Google Docs also offers easy collaboration.
A team of any size that allows people to directly edit simultaneously the same Word document style format or a spreadsheet.
Aside from its usability, there are other aspects of design that make it important. John defines design as...
When I think of programming, design is organizing the functionality of a program so that it optimizes whatever values that we have. For me, usually it's about usability.
In his perspective, design, good design, is a simple, powerful idea.
For me, good design means at the core, it's all organized by a simple, powerful idea. Mm-hmm. Right? That's good design.
As a result, designers should make a good balance between their own design philosophy and functionality of a product. Our four computer engineers told us about their experiences as designers, and there were striking similarities. One thing that emerged in terms of the design process was the chunking of the project into smaller, bite-sized pieces.
So one of the strategies is to implement slices instead of stages.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that very often what we do is we say, here's a big project.
Yes.
Well, our first phase is going to be to study the problem. Our second phase is to develop a prototype. Our third stage is then to get some people to work with the prototype, and then we're going to revise, and then we'll create the final thing, and we'll be done, right? So many stages, one big project.
A piece of software. What you want to do is break it down into manageable pieces. First of all, you start from the very top and figure out what exactly you want the program to do, and you'll largely break it up at this point into pieces such as user interface and processing, any networking capabilities it needs. And each of those you'll break down further and further until you can get something that is easily handed off to someone and you can just tell them, make this happen, make sure that it has these inputs, gives these outputs.
The engineers emphasize starting at the beginning.
Really, you should figure out what is going to be done in your project before you ever start writing any code at all.
They also talked about the importance of talking to the users and conducting a needs analysis.
What they're asking for, but often they don't know how it can be done or how feasible it is.
They also talked about how context changes the design process.
Purchase system software was kind of a new concept at that point in time. So we ended up doing is creating in many ways our own design tools, screen generators, logic flows. I was able to put together a number of tools like that helped prototype and implement in fairly short order a process that was pretty, let's say, you know, guaranteed to work because it's just kind of rubber stamping something with computer generated code.
Much more need for a formal design process where there's design documentation that's reviewed and agreed upon. Whereas in some cases at SimiQuest, because we're a small company, I sometimes work on programs where it's where I'm the only engineer working on a product. And so in those cases, oftentimes there is no formal design. You'll run an idea past a colleague, but in some cases it's less formal than a large team-based program.
Of course, there are many ways in which the design process can go awry, leading to a quite unsatisfactory final product for the end user. Sometimes the problem is a decision to cut corners at a place that ends up being a bottleneck, as Steve recently experienced with a laptop he purchased.
One of the hinges started to break off on it, and the hinge itself was made of metal, so that was pretty solid, but it was anchored to a plastic frame, which over time cracked, and once it started cracking, it continued cracking, and then it was, I guess, the point where the laptop was no longer usable because of that. And so an otherwise very nice laptop became useless because of a small design detail that had been overlooked.
At other times, it is a design that does not really capture the needs of the end user. Here we have Jack talking about the web development program Microsoft Front Page.
But it had a learning curve, and it had what I would call some defects that were associated with it. Yes, you could probably control things to a greater degree than what you could with something like Google Sites, where you were limiting what you could do. The fact that Front Page wasn't portable, you couldn't have co-development of it. There was a learning curve to it. I don't want to necessarily call it bad development.
Being a web designer myself, I would say that Jack's statements are actually somewhat charitable. Microsoft Front Page did not follow web design standards, and while it had a really nice interface, it was so buggy that you would spend most of your time fixing code that Front Page put into your web page. Microsoft has had many products that have stood the test of time. Front Page, deservingly, did not. Design often involves looking at two constraints that are contradictory. Tim gave many examples of security versus convenience constraints. Let's listen to one of them.
The worst one that I've heard was very recently they've discovered that pacemakers, certainly brand of pacemakers, could be accessed remotely, wirelessly. I can understand the reason for that. You'd rather just be able to get a computer close to the patient rather than cutting them open every time you need to make changes. But what some researchers found was that they could actually, from about 30 feet away, cause the device entirely wirelessly to emit some very powerful shocks, essentially making it an assassination device from afar.
Of course, there is no such thing as a design decision that has no consequences. Most likely the designers knew the potential consequences and still went through with it, probably because the odds were deemed to be low enough. However, I doubt that it's a lot of comfort for the person with a pacemaker. But this example clearly demonstrates the need to balance out differing and competing variables. Perhaps this is the biggest challenge for designers. Well, that just about concludes our broadcast on design and computer science. The interviews with the computer designers suggest to us that many of the same themes from other types of design, the design process, the importance of creativity, and the importance of usability carry over into design in computer environments.